Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We do appreciate you giving us a few moments of your time because we know you've been exceptionally busy over the first 6 weeks. So usually I start off with a joke and take some sort of pot shot at you, buddy. But I do appreciate you jumping on with us, bud. Thank you very much. And first off, Myles Garrett gets punched in the face. So we have that going for us here. And you're 2-4, and Patrick Mahomes just went down. What do you think is the biggest story going into the bye week here as a reporter for yourself?
Well, I mean, for me, it's what they're going to do on the offensive line to coming out of the bye week and what changes they ultimately decide to make, because I'm not so sure that they're whatever changes or whatever solutions that they're looking for on the offensive line, I'm not convinced that they have them in-house. So it'll be interesting to see, what they do, because at 2-4, somebody's got to take the blame. And based on, John Dorsey's comments and based on some of the things that I've heard, somebody's got to take the blame, and it sounds like it's going to be the offensive line.
Daryl, correct me if I'm wrong. I know the offensive line looked really bad to start the season. I think a lot of them do in the NFL. But over the last 3 weeks, two out of the last 3 weeks, I think Baker's had ample time to throw. And I think his protection has been very good. And I think he's even felt a little more comfortable back there. Yet it seems like there is this panic from fans and from media about this offensive line. What are we not buying what I said about two of the last 3 weeks?
Apparently not. if they're talking about wanting to bench Greg Robinson, and do they make a change at right guard too? My thing is again, what solutions do you have in house? Okay, if you bench Kush, does that mean you move Wyatt Teller up? If you bench Greg Robinson, does that mean Kendall Lamb is going to step in? And is that really an upgrade over what you already have? I honestly believe that better play calling, getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands, running routes that don't take as long or need as long to develop, I think that there are some things from a coaching angle that they can do to help Baker Mayfield that they haven't done yet. And, hopefully as they go through their self-scouting process during this bye week, they figure that out. Because if they continue to do what they've been doing, I'm afraid they're going to be pounding their head against a brick wall and they won't be getting very far, especially with New England right out of the gate. So I think it's a combination of everything. And that's the biggest problem for the Browns, is that it's not one thing. I don't believe that this is an offensive line problem. I don't believe that this is a wide receiver problem. I don't believe that this is solely a quarterback problem. It's everybody. Just the whole thing isn't working in unison. So that's why it's so concerning, and why I'm not willing to just say everything's going to be fine when they come out of the bye week, like John Dorsey seemed to indicate the other day.
Well, why do offensive lines never seem to get credit for run games that are functioning at a high level when right now Nick Chubb is the second leading rusher in the NFL? The only guy ahead of him is an MVP candidate in McCaffrey.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between run blocking and pass blocking and the techniques that are involved, and I understand what you're saying. Obviously, they don't have a problem with the offensive line when it comes to running the football, because Nick Chubb's averaging around 5 yards a carry, which is outstanding. That's fantastic production. He's been the consistent bright spot offensively for you. But I'm guessing they just don't feel that the pass protection is there. And that's what they ultimately feel they need to shore up in, what is a passing league. But You know, Kareem Hunt's going to come back here in 2, 3, 4 weeks whenever he's up to speed. I'm not sold that he's going to be hitting the ground running November 10th against Buffalo when he's eligible. Maybe not even for the Thursday nighter against the Steelers. I kind of circle November 24 against Miami is really the game that I think that he's going to be really, truly ready to go and do what everyone expects Kareem Hunt to be able to do. But, it's kind of hard to sit here and complain, Anthony, about that run blocking, that's for sure.
The always dangerous Darryl Ryder with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's going on with Rashard Higgins?
Great question. They, for whatever reason, decided that he wasn't ready to play Sunday, even though Freddie Kitchens told us that he was ready to play. It is quite the mystery, considering what he and Baker Mayfield have chemistry-wise. I really hope that they don't think that Antonio Callaway is a better player than Rashard Higgins is, especially a guy that got suspended, and it's a whole other conversation. I'm not on the Antonio Callaway bandwagon, as the Browns apparently are. I think if Rashard Higgins is healthy, Rashard Higgins needs to be on the football field playing and contributing in front of Antonio Callaway.
Darryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, joining us on the hotline. It was interesting to me that John Dorsey, maybe not so interesting because he knew he wasn't going to throw his number one overall pick from the year before under the bus, but he said that Baker's been making strides and has not been making the same mistake twice, yet we sit here and I think he still leads the league in interceptions. Is he of the mindset that those interceptions are just not on Baker?
Yeah, well, and I think so. And if you go back and you look, you can make a case that 6 or 7 of them aren't on Baker. So I think that that's probably where he's coming from. But then again, he also told us what a great job Freddie Kitchens has done calling plays when you see him calling the same play in similar situations all the time. And I read something this week. Griffin from the Seahawks said that he was able to call the game himself Sunday when Seattle was in town. I don't know that that's positive if an opposing defender is able to tell what you're about to do offensively. I think that's a little bit of an indictment of the coaching staff, if you ask me.
Ooh, well, can I get you to expound on that, please? I was going to go with Trent Williams, but please continue.
No, I mean, if you've got someone saying, hey, I'm able to sniff out whatever they were doing and that it was an easy game for me, that's not a good thing, Ken. You know what I mean? It's not. So I think an area where I think Freddie Kitchens can maybe improve coming out of the bye week is making sure that comments like that don't pop up from opposing defenders. You don't want to be predictable. You don't want defenses to be able to sniff out what you're trying to run and accomplish. So maybe Griffin did such a great job studying film that helped, but I do think that there have been some times where the Browns have been a little predictable in their first 6 games.
Darryl Ryder joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What is the most important thing that Freddie needs to accomplish during this bye week?
Obviously, I think it's the self-scout and making adjustments off the self-scout because that's invaluable. It's different when you're preparing for an opponent. You tend to focus more on them and what they do and what you're going to do to neutralize where they do well, as opposed to preparing for yourself as you're playing against yourself and you are trying to beat yourself. And certainly the Browns have done enough to beat themselves with all the turnovers that they've had, the penalties that they've had. You can argue the merits of the penalties. I think that's a fruitless discussion because you can't change it. You can, though, play a little smarter, more attention to detail, thing like that, although I do worry that the habits are already formed and you are what you are. Again, I don't subscribe to the John Dorsey theory that they're just going to come out of the bye week and everything's going to be fine. So I think that that's the biggest thing he can do is this self-scout and see his own tendencies, you know what I'm saying, and make adjustments off of that.
What are the percentage chances of the Browns acquiring Trent Williams by the end of the trade deadline?
I'd probably say less than 10%. If Washington's not willing to make the trade or make a trade, there's not much you can do. Now, the flip side of that coin is that John Dorsey was finally able to beat OBJ out of Dave Gettleman. I don't know that Bruce Allen's going to do the same thing there in Washington. It's hard to figure out what that franchise is trying to accomplish in our nation's capital these days, but you have a player that's clearly not going to play for you again. He's an asset. Left tackles are hard to find. Dorsey talked about that. I don't know why Washington seems to be so stubborn. It doesn't seem like it's a negotiating tactic on their part. It seems like they honestly aren't going to trade Trent Williams, and I don't know that that's an entirely intelligent thing to do on their behalf. So, I mean, Dorsey's calling. He's been calling. He's been trying to make it happen, but if they're not willing to budge, I don't know what else, you know, Dorsey can do at this point. And it just doesn't make sense for a 31-year-old who has an injury history, who obviously hasn't been in camp and done a lot of football recently. I think that there also is a limit to the price that you're willing to pay to bring in a player like that who is disgruntled.
Daryl Ryder, join us on the hotline. We're about, 3 weeks away, 2.5 weeks from the return of Kareem Hunt, or a debut potentially with the Buffalo game for the Cleveland Browns. I haven't heard much about his recovery from the surgery that he had earlier in the year, and obviously we don't know how he could possibly be in football shape. He's not been allowed for some reason by the NFL to be at the facility. What are your expectations out of Kareem Hunt? Do you think he's going to be this huge help for the offense in that second half of the year?
If he's healthy, I think for the final 4 or 5 games, sure. But, you know, as I said, I don't think that he's going to be ready against Buffalo. Then they play Pittsburgh 4 days later. And I think you risk the kid getting injured again. So I've got November 24th against Miami is the game that really he could probably split that workload or share the workload with Nick Chubb. I think that that's the smart approach to this thing. The rule, because this is a conduct violation and not not substance abuse or a medical situation in regards to the suspension here, you know, the Browns aren't allowed to talk to him. They're not allowed to have contact with him. He's, you know, persona non grata until he's eligible to return. I think it's November 8th, the day after the trip to Denver. That's when he's allowed back in the building and they can do their, you know, obviously their physical assessment of where he's at. I would assume that he's in shape. But there is a difference between being in shape and being in NFL football shape. So I'm interested to see how that situation develops, but I would temper fans' expectations that he's going to come out against Buffalo and you know, carry the load and run for 125 and a couple of touchdowns. I don't believe that that is how this is ultimately going to work. I think that they got to get him in, assess where he's at. I would assume he's healthy by then as well. And then just kind of put a 2-week program in place to get him ready to go against Miami, or even maybe hold him off until December 1st for the big road game at Pittsburgh. Because, you know, I would say that looking at the back end of that schedule, the 2 games against the Steelers and hosting Baltimore, those are really your biggest challenges on the back end, because you should be able to handle most of the rest of that schedule.
All right, Daryl, one last question for me. In Foxborough, second quarter, let's say you're winning. You have a 4th-and-1. Freddie wants to be aggressive. Are you going with the quarterback sneak for Baker Mayfield?
Where are you on the field?
Same situation as the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm trying to go with the exact same situation.
Yeah, I mean, it amazes. First of all, I would not definitely don't put Baker in the shotgun because that's for whatever reason, teams like running quarterback sneaks from the gun. I wouldn't hesitate to do something like that. And I know that there's the thing about concussions and that. I would absolutely, Anthony. I'd do a quarterback sneak because there are times on those 1-yard situations where I sit there and say, why are you turning and handing off to a guy that's 5 yards deep when all you have to do is just get behind your tackle, a guard, lower your head, and pick up that first down. So, yeah, there'd be no hesitation for me there.
Less than 10% for Trent Williams, Daryl Ryder. I have no further questions. Thank you very much for the time, my friend.
The prosecution rests.
Yes, it does. Daryl, have a great weekend, buddy.
You too, guys. Talk to you Monday.
You too, buddy. The great Daryl Ryder on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Less than 10% for Trent Williams.
There are other teams that are interested in them, and all the reporting right now is that they're not even asking for an asking price.
It's not even about other teams. But when I hear about, hey, they could be switching out Greg Robinson for who? For Kendall Lamb? It's like, pick up the phone, make a call. I don't want to give up too much for a 31-year-old left tackle, but when I'm hearing from one reporter that they're going to make a switch with Greg Robinson, or it looks like they're going to make a switch with Greg Robinson to this, I'm going to get worked up. And I'm going to want them to go out and get another left tackle, because I don't – Kendall Lamb coming back from injury, am I really that excited about Kendall Lamb? And I don't think it's a situation where, well, anything's better than what we have already. I think that's a concerning thing. You're going to switch that out or make a change there with the right tackle or the left tackle position? You're not nervous by that?
You should be. I'll tell you, to me, this has been, you know, rearranging the deck chairs for the entire season, and it looks like it could keep going that way. So I don't know if they're ever going to gel. If we're just expecting this to magically all come into place at the most important time of the season when you're going to be jockeying for playoff position, I just don't know that at some point you just got to find your line, go with it, and then scheme around what you do bad. And I think they might have done some of that against Seattle. Like I said, Baker had time to throw. He also had time to throw in the Baltimore game. And I know both teams don't have fierce pass rushes this year, but not every team you're going up against has a fierce pass rush.
I mean, if you're willing to make wholesale changes with your offensive line halfway through the season, that is a DEFCON 1 move. Because that means that you're not willing to let things gel. You let it gel last year, and it came together, and the offensive line looked okay last season. You usually have to have cohesion because it's five moving parts that are trying to take on all comers at all times with different types of formations and different types of schemes, and to just scrap that and to go with different people, not because of injury. Do that on purpose halfway through the year. That's DEFCON 1. That's very concerning, and it should be concerning for Browns fans. Coming up at 9:20, Doug LaMaurie is going to join us. We'll talk about the Buckeyes taking on Northwestern later on tonight on FS1. Up next, don't be mad if you're rebuffed for an autograph or selfie in the future.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.